boy, there are explosions everywhere. Everywhere you look. Some small, some larger. The big one may be on the way any day now. We have a lot to talk about this hour regarding your health, and we welcome all of our vaxxed and unvaxxed regular listeners and you newcomers to this program. We do our very best to bring you relevant, pertinent, intelligent information that you can make better decisions with. We're not here to tell you what to think, just asking you to engage in the process. Okay, tonight we're going to talk about some very important issues, and it has to do with proteins in the body, prion proteins in specificity, and certainly overreaching and overriding all of it is the spike protein. This is a huge story. Now, many of you would say, briefly, well, what's a protein? Proteins are made by the body, made by body's cells, made by the body's liver. They are the building blocks of life, essentially, as we know it. There are countless different kinds of proteins manufactured by the human body. Now, when they created the spike protein, they embedded in it seven different sequences. And when that protein gets cleaved or split open, as it were, those seven spike sequences become eminently available as it's traveling through the bloodstream to bump up against almost any protein and revert that protein into a misfolded shape, convert it to where it's not only useless, but it becomes essentially a prion protein. Now, there are formal prion proteins, but these particular proteins, which are created out of a normal protein by these seven sequences in the spike, become deadly. If they make their way to the brain, for example, they will create catastrophe in the brain. Alzheimer's, for sure, and other things along the lines of dementia. There are a number of other issues. Early on, Erica pointed out that there was a mystery protein sequenced, found in the Pfizer bioweapon. Well, that has been sequenced now, and it's even more bad news. We have to understand that the misfolding of proteins and the creating of prion proteins in the body will in and of itself lead to death on many different fronts. It'll attack all the major organs in the body. It'll certainly destroy the brain. It can go anywhere the blood goes, okay? Wherever the blood goes, you are at risk. All right. You there, young lady?
I'm here. Happy
Welcome
Wednesday.
Welcome back. Yeah,
Thank
happy
you.
Wednesday.
I never left.
I know. You're always there. All right. Best partner somebody could ask for. She's always there picking up my loose ends and making me sound intelligent. Here we go. Proteins. The mystery protein, which was actually larger than the spike protein in the Pfizer version of the bio-death, bio-weapon injection. What do we know about this mystery protein that has now been sequenced? What do we find out?
I think that there's still some speculation as to why it's there, what it's there for. I think some researchers, I don't know if it was Kevin McKernan, I don't want to, credit the right people, but I believe it was Kevin McKernan who thought it had something to do with a silk, as from a silkworm.
Yes.
But then, I don't know, more alarmingly, there was a researcher in Japan who put out a tweet on Twitter back in September sometime, and he had taken a look at the sequences in this, what they're calling open reading frame 19. It's a rather long open reading frame in the DNA template that's used to create the mRNA for Pfizer. This only pertains to Pfizer. And he found a exceptionally an alarming number of just plain old prion domains, meaning segments of amino acids that if they were to come into contact with native protein would cause it to misfold. Nobody really seems to have picked up on it, and he did direct it at Kevin McKernan, and Kevin McKernan didn't bite. So I don't know. That's still out there. this individual in Japan was not saying, you know, it conclusively, but just opened it up for debate. Does anyone want to comment on this? And I think it does warrant closer inspection, given that there seems to be these prion sequences intentionally built into the spike protein.
You bet. You bet. Nothing coincidental in this monster weapon. Nothing.
We're already seeing what looks to be the effects of people being exposed to this type of poison. I can tell you at least anecdotally that social media groups, these groups pertaining to things like amyloidosis, are growing. They're just really exploding.
CJD
group is. I even remember about a year ago, the moderator of the group was alarmed at how many new requests she was getting for people to join. You know, this is generally, up until last few years, was a rather rare disease. Although it was trending upwards, and there could be some reasons for that, environmental reasons for that. Maybe the amount of EMFs that we're being exposed to in the environment, because that's known to contribute to diseases of protein misfolding. But ever since the rollout of the vax, there is a striking increase in the numbers of people seeking help for these types of protein misfolding disorders.
And not everybody is able to find these groups either. We want to point that out.
A lot of them don't fit the classic definitions of, let's say, for example, ALS. Now, there's an epidemic right now of younger people being diagnosed with ALS, and in some cases Alzheimer's, which are both diseases of protein misfolding. They're neurodegenerative diseases, and they are progressive. And for the most part, there's no real way to stop it. Once it starts, you can maybe slow it down.
Well, it's like dominoes falling over.
And remember,
everywhere the protein known as the spike goes in the body, it's got these seven sequences or locations on it. Once it's cleaved, they're open, and any protein they come into contact with can be immediately misfolded and taken out of service and turned into a weapon of destruction. In and of itself, it's going to build into something like an amyloid formation. And the little amyloids grow into bigger amyloids, okay? They just keep on growing. And we've seen the picture of one blood where they had successfully stained these little amyloids in the blood with some fluorescing dye, and they were all over the place. And they're like little seedlings. They did just keep aggregating and agglutinating together with others and building and building. And it's not good out there. And I don't want to overstate it. It's bad.
You know, that's what we can see in the blood. Now, the same or similar can be happening in the nervous system.
Exactly. The prions,
with utterly devastating consequences.
Right. Spike protein likes to be in the nerves, in your neurology. It loves it. It moves right along, no problem. So this, as Dr. Chetty said 3 years ago or more, the spike protein is the deadliest thing mankind has ever created. I let you ladies off the hook with that inappropriate pronoun, right? Mankind. It's humankind. We did it. And there were women and men involved in it, but I think there's more to it than all that. But nonetheless, the spike is absolutely horrific. And when you come into contact with someone who's been injected or who has the virus, per se, you're going to potentially get the virus. You don't want to get this virus. I don't care what they tell you. You do not want to get it. If you come into contact with someone and they breathe on you, touch you, or whatever, you will probably have to consider yourself spiked. And then the possibility is that they're also shedding or transmitting mRNA, right? That's another one. Potentially, they're also transmitting these tiny little fragments of DNA plasmids that are in the body. Billions, 400 billion in each injection. So they could be distributing that, mRNA, liquid nanoparticles, and spike. That's all possible. I can't rule any of it out. But we know spike for sure is being transmitted. And I would guess probably the others are as well.
Yeah, it would seem so.
I mean, how can you disprove it? You can't. And these people who keep just throwing caution to the wind out of ignorance or out of attitude, we've had too many stories of people who are paying terrible prices for having dismissed or mocked shedding as a real issue. They have.
At this point, it's hard to know whether people are succumbing to just spike poisoning or if they've acquired some new variant of the virus. The virus is all over the place now, and there really isn't, from what I can see, there's no real immunity. And it's becoming apparent that the second time around is worse than the first, and the third time can be even worse.
Right.
I think people are becoming chronically infected with it. They're not able to clear it. Because once that spike gets inside of a cell, the immune system doesn't see it. If it's just sitting there and it has a nuclear localization signal, so it goes straight for the nucleus, disrupts the ability of the cell to produce energy, and it just sits there. And it becomes a zombie cell. And unless somebody's making efforts to rid the body of these zombie cells, they'll just sit there and create inflammation. And then if the cell dies, those same spike proteins that were within the cell that just died can just move into a new cell. So the spike detox protocol is, I would say, worth something. It has to be addressed. Because it is a form of poisoning, and if it isn't dealt with, it just there becomes it cumulative. And right. I would say, I've mentioned this before, that the damage it does in terms of the inflammation and oxidative stress is on a par with radiation.
In how it aggregates in the body, that's the vision we want you to have. You get around radiation, you get dosed, it starts to build up in your body. Now, if you get too much, you're over the threshold.
It causes this cascade of oxidative stress, particularly with lipid membranes. And there's been research done and shown that oxidized lipids have the same type of damage or exert the same type of damage as radiation. And, at first glance, it's indistinguishable from radiation damage. And if you remember, in the beginning of the pandemic, some of these autopsies, before they stopped doing them, the doctors performing the autopsies thought that these people had been poisoned with radiation. That was how extensive the oxidative stress was. But you can achieve that with oxidized lipids.
Let's go back to prion proteins. They're potentially formed all over the body, wherever there's blood and wherever the spike protein goes, and encounters proteins, which are everywhere. So these proteins, once they're misfolded, are again useless in the traditional sense of the term for which they were created to do. They can't do it anymore. So they're going to end up in the brain sooner or later, flowing the blood here and there, and they'll go wherever it goes, and they're going to end up in the brain. And as they begin to agglutinate in the brain, you also have microclotting being caused by the spike itself. So you have dead cell areas in the brain that are growing. Now you have prion proteins in the brain. Explain how they work in the brain, just to kind of bookend this thing. When you have microclotting in the brain, a capillary is shut down, and all the cells that capillary was feeding with oxygen, nutrition, and so forth are dead. So you have little tiny, tiny little wink outs of the brain. And wherever those wink outs start to build up, you're going to see a manifestation often in the external personality and attitudes of the people who are being impacted. And it's not a joke. This is very serious. That's why all the personality changes, we think. So tell us how the prion protein works in the brain, and maybe cross-reference it to the microclotting and the micro deaths in the brain as well?
Well, there's a prion protein that's not just present in the brain, but it's in immune cells. It's actually present throughout the body.
Right.
And they don't quite know what it does, because they've been able to remove it in, I believe it was humanized mice, with no apparent ill effect. But it does seem to have something involved with synaptic transmission and the health of neurons. But when it starts to misfold, then you get these aggregates of aggregated proteins, misfolded proteins, and they form fibrils and disrupt the functioning of these neurons.
So fibrils,
you know,
also grow in the capillaries in the neurology, and they block. Okay.
Yes. But I mean, you can have different types of proteins that misfold.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they've identified 30-something distinct protein-folding diseases.
Right.
So it just depends where that process starts, and if the body is unable to interrupt it, it's lethal.
What else did we just hear about? We talked about this just a few minutes ago. 23 was the number, wasn't it? 23 different locations, or what? What did you just tell me? Had to do with 23 different sequences.
Oh well, yes, in the Pfizer vaccine, in the DNA plasmid, there is something called an ORF, Open Reading Frame 19, that nobody knows what it's. Why is it there? What does it do? What does it code for? Well, it doesn't match up to any known protein. And when it was sequenced, it turns out that there is a multitude, 23, prion domains, meaning sequences of amino acids that would tend to cause protein misfolding if they were to come into contact with a host protein.
Right.
Well, so why is this there?
It didn't get there by accident.
And nobody seems to want to investigate this right now.
No, of course not. The design of this weapons system was so satanically pathological that we can't even go into some of the minutiae about it here. It doesn't matter. You've got enough to think about. But it just goes on and on. Mega multifaceted. This thing and the way it interacts. Whoever did this ultimately had a very good idea about how to end life.
Well,
and now with Mac is talking about how unborn babies are actually getting turbo cancer and dying in utero from the mother.
Mm-hmm.
This is beyond belief horrific.
I know. But the show goes on.
So far, and again, I say a lot of these people that you see every day when you're out, and maybe some of you listening are some of those people, have been injured by these shots or by shedding, and you don't feel well. You've got issues, but you're still out and about. You're not talking about it to people. So I look at everyone out there as being potentially in trouble. Potentially. I just don't know many people who are able, and it's not easy to do, to isolate yourself or him or herself from a group who are vaxxed or shed upon and injured and are shedding in turn themselves. This is a very difficult situation. And every time I see a story mocking face masks, I don't laugh anymore. It makes me angry, because these masks, used properly, will help you. They do make a difference.
Yep.
I mean, even if it's only 10%, I'll take it. And I know it's more than that. But for God's sakes, don't listen to the maniacs out there. And be very careful when you're in the alt-news world. I think now it's more dangerous and potentially disastrous than the mainstream media. We know what the MSM does. But people can't figure out what the alt-news does in terms of how it's compromised, how it's been set up, how it's been staffed, There's so many people in it that are completely controlled, created, and or otherwise tainted. And look at Robert F. Kennedy. People are praising, oh, it's a Kennedy. Finally, Camelot can be realized. He's going to run as an independent. Robert F. Kennedy, to the best of my ability to understand the media and what's going on here, is in all likelihood a compromised, created political tool. He's out there to do a job. He was in Jeffrey Epstein's little black book and has now admitted he flew on the Lolita Express, the airplane, twice. How much video do you think they have on RFK Jr. to make sure he follows directions? Something to think about.
Yep.
So, the alt news world is very difficult to meander through and to really come away with a lot of good information. Now, the interesting trick that is being played now is many of the long-time major platforms are beginning to spew more and more truth and reality. And people were saying, how could that happen? Why would they do that? They wouldn't allow those people to present the truth. Well, they would, because it's already done. 6.5 billion people have been injected. More are taking the shots all the time, and shedding is coming in to clean up those who are refusing to be injected. So they have control. And so why not have some of their created and controlled opposition begin to lay out the truth? Makes them look better, doesn't it? But that doesn't mean everything they're saying and doing is the truth. It means that a lot of it is, and I've seen a real sea change in that regard in the last 8-9 months. It has changed. They are now putting out stories that I would put out. And in fact, I do link to some of them because it's good information. All right.
Keeps us guessing, right?
Oh, yeah. You got 20 doors to walk through. Which one's the right door? So, all true. Okay, let me roust up Dr. James Thorpe here. Tell us about Dr. James Thorpe while I get this ready.
Dr. James Thorpe is an obstetrician in Florida, and he was one of the ones that ultimately was forced to leave his job. And he's been speaking out for some time about what he has been seeing in his obstetrics practice ever since the rollout of the vaccine. And he knew right from the beginning something was wrong with this, and so he was paying close attention. And he has since published a paper with a few of his colleagues on what they were finding in women in terms of menstrual irregularities. And this also included women that were experiencing shedding, menstrual irregularities from shedding. And I believe he's about ready to publish something else, or he's embarked on another research project that should give us more insight into why this is happening. They haven't been able to nail it down yet. There's, of course, many theories. But the problem is nobody wants to fund it, so they've had to fund it, you know, out of their own pockets. But they are committed to doing this so that we can have some answers. The bleeding in women is still happening. The fetal losses are still happening.
If you're pregnant turbo these cancer days, in the unborn, yeah, too, yeah. Which is really, that really bothers me. All right. Here's what we got. What you were able to send over was a preview of the interview,
and they say,
you must subscribe if you want to see the whole thing.
Okay.
So can you send me a different link, or is this a subscription only?
You were able to get the other one. I don't know why this one wouldn't work.
I don't know. Try pull it right off the top of the window.
Yeah, I did. Hang on.
Okay.
Maybe that's not the way to do it.
Thorpe is one of the people out there who has not held back. He's been very vociferous aggressive and valuable. And I'll tell you, there's one other person that you know already, and that's Dr. Michael Yeadon, former chief science officer of Pfizer. That guy is, I think there's more and more of an effort to keep him on the sidelines. He's too vocal. He has come way around.
There was some sort of hearing in the UK last week?
Yes.
And he was scheduled to speak, but something happened and he didn't end up speaking. Not because, you know, anything to do with him, but the organizers of the event conveniently ran out of time. I don't know what the exact story was, but the gist of it was that he was not given a platform to speak.
Right. Now, they broomed him off the stage, basically, and kept him on the sidelines.
Yeah.
And I think, didn't they invite him back the next day or something when nobody was there? Out of something crazy. Don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know the full story, but he does have a good a Telegram channel. Let's see what it is. He recently went off on his own.
I'm not going to be able to pull this up.
All right.
So if you can send me the link, maybe that'll allow it. Just send me the URL.
I just sent it again. Did you get
all
the
right
one I just sent?
Let me do this. I'll do that and pull this up here. Okay, there it is. Let me try this and see if it works. If not, we have plenty of things to do here. All right, there it is. There. Okay. Subscribe. $52 a year. So no, they're not going to let me do it.
All right.
Now, if you want to go ahead and play it there, go ahead. Play it into your phone.
Oh, I don't have the right setup to do it.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll hopefully do this next time then. But they're definitely now. Epoch Times is now asking for $1 a week, $52 a year. Special discount just for you. Okay. We'll get it at some point. It'll run loose outside of their net. So there we go. All right. What else do we have here before we can jump into our reader section? We have a lot of material coming in all the time.
Yeah, why don't we just jump into some of these readers? You know, they can be a launching post for
all right
discussion.
Ready to go. Okay.
You pick.
How did I know you were going to say that? How did I know that I was going to get slapped around again? All right.
Well, I assemble them. You pick.
I know. Yes. Well, that's a woman's job, isn't it? Let the man pick. Let the man think he's in charge. I get it. All right. Okay. Oh, beware of saunas. Now, that might be fun. I don't know.
Okay.
Here's the larger message. I'm going to let Erica read this. When you're out and among friends and someone says, let's get in the hot tub. Don't get in the hot tub. Let's get in the sauna. Don't get in the sauna. Come on, we're just, I'm sorry, we're not living in those days anymore. You can't do it. You're asking for big trouble.
Well, you pay a price if you do.
Go ahead.
All right, this sounds like somebody that actually works at a facility with a sauna.
Mm-hmm.
I am working in a swimming/wellness company. When I must visit the sauna, only for a few minutes, it is breathtaking. It stinks awful, and the shedding is enormous. Avoid them. They are dangerous.
See?
Well, that's where you're going to get the biggest dose of whatever is coming out of these people.
Right. No question.
You know, the skin is an organ of detox, so
it's an order of intake as well. Don't forget that if you even shake hands with someone, the prion protein we've been talking about, for example, just proteins in general, the spike in specific, will go right through your skin into your bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
It's no joke. That's why some people will hug a relative or kiss that relative on the cheek, whatever, rub their arm, you can't do it anymore. The danger is clear and present. All right. So let's see what this is about. How are things in India? India. Okay. Because this is, remember, we tend to think of this reflexively as an American issue here in the U.S. It's everywhere. It's all around the world. Pfizer shipped their death, as did Moderna, AstraZeneca, J&J. They shipped their stuff all over the place. It wasn't just here. All right. In South India, someone writes, and then there's a response to it, and the response says, I have spent a lot of time in India and have been really worried about the people because of these shots. Did a lot of Indians take the jabs, or did many refuse? Have people been having health problems from the jabs? What about the children? Are people being prevented from working or attending school if they refuse the injection? And there's a long response to that. Let me do this one here. Let me get my, hold on, get my magnifying glass or my, well, that'll work. All right. Answer. Lots of people took it. A handful refused, got fake certificates or medical exemption certificates. A couple of doctors have been giving medical exemptions because they're not on board with it. But good luck using it. The jab Nazis didn't acknowledge them or would demand PCR tests as punishment for having the exemption, whereas those with vax certificates got the red carpet treatment everywhere they went. The people I know personally who refused or got fake certificates, I can count on one hand. The majority drank the Kool-Aid. Yes, people are dying suddenly over here in large numbers. Cardiac emergencies have skyrocketed, as in heart attacks, and died suddenly. Young people under the age of 40, especially young men, are dying suddenly in large numbers. Children also are dying. Many were jabbed at school without consulting parents. Otherwise, many parents also forced their kids to take the shots. There are a couple of sudden death channels here on Telegram, specifically for India, and another called India's Forgotten Babies, which is keeping track of babies and kids dying from routine childhood vaccinations. During the COVID shot drives, some elderly people were forcefully mishandled and manhandled by their own family and neighbors and ASHA workers and jabbed against their will. These people were actually held down or held and jabbed. A lot of menial workers, like delivery drivers and whatnot, took it to keep their jobs, whereas the majority of those who willfully joined the COVIDian cult were educated idiots with illustrious college degrees. I know people who have VAIDS, one with lymphoma, one next door died last year of turbo cancer, and a few more untimely deaths have occurred in my immediate area. The few unvaxxed don't seem to be taking the whole thing seriously. Many of them are still socializing and doing booty calls with the vaxxed and then acting confused when they get sick. In other words, they're having sex with the vax opposite. A tiny few are having the sense to refrain and minimize contact. All right, there's your partial answer about what's happening in India. Tell us more.
India is who is making and selling most of the ivermectin. Do you trust the manufacturing there? It's no worse than anywhere else. I took it when the shedding COVID made me extremely sick, and the natural stuff I had on hand failed to work. It got me breathing properly again. I've taken it a few times since when the shedding was too much.
All right, so there's a look at India, a nation of 1.3 billion people, and they're heading down the same road that white Western Christian people are handling on a daily basis as well. All right, next is memory loss post-vax. So a lot of you out there listening right now took the shots, and some of you that haven't, through shedding, I would suspect, have memory problems, short-term memory loss, I mean, really gone in just a blink of an eye. What was I thinking about? What was that? And they can't remember. So go ahead with that one. That's next.
This tragically appears to be a young woman. I was wondering if anyone is starting to have memory issues. I am 2 years and 8 months out. Since my injury, I have started to say, a lot, and I can't find my words sometimes. Or sometimes in the middle of a conversation, I forget what I was talking about. But today was the worst experience ever. I went with my daughter and girlfriend to the mall to get her a winter jacket in my scooter. They ended up going to a different store, and when I was alone, I couldn't remember who I came with or why I was there or where I was. I'm thinking it took a couple of minutes for me to figure things out. I was so happy to find them again, but sad that I had just experienced that. I'm hoping this is not early dementia. Also, I was wondering if small fiber neuropathy can attack your brain. I still haven't found a good neurologist. And one reply of 35, someone says, all the time, it wasn't good in the first place because of neuropathy medicine, but not my short-term memory. But now my short-term memory is non-existent. You're not alone. I'm just trying to eat clean, look into vitamin deficiencies. I wish I had more info to give you. I can't find my words. If it's not in front of me, I forget everything. It's horrible.
Not a joke. This is probably much more common and chronic than most of us would think. I find myself just almost, I think I can speak for Erica as well. That's your name, isn't it? Oh, okay.
Yep.
okay, it's a good guess. No, we both think that this is happening terribly all over the place. The exact cause would seem to be prion protein damage to the brain, microclotting damage to the brain. Somehow the brain is being impeded, apparently permanently. We just don't know for sure. It's not a good situation. This may be causing some of the vaccidents out there. People becoming disoriented mentally while they're driving, not necessarily
having
a seizure.
When I was on the phone with you earlier today, there was a call, you heard it, for a woman who had driven from the next state, or that's what she thought, and she got to a local area and pulled over, didn't know where she was. I just pulled in and knocked on the door of a building, office building, and they tried to help her. She had no idea where she was.
Who am I? Where am I? What am I doing?
Yeah.
I'd be interested if any of you have experiences or know anyone who's had similar experiences, let us know. We're going to start tracking this one now. You know, it's difficult when we look at the enormity of the damage that these injections and the virus can and are doing to people. You kind of black humor, you got to start laughing at it or you go crazy. I mean, it's just nuts. It's that absurd how effective this weapon has been. And I just, it's awful. All right, let's see what this one is here. Where did I jump to? Shedding sickness. All right, you see those? There are five of them there.
Yes.
All right. Here's the first one. I don't know if it's relevant or not. I'm French, unvaxxed, and work far away from people. I'm a logger. Still, this summer, I had this family marriage with 100 of vaxxed people. I had this family marriage. He went to a big marriage. All right, that's a big
wedding.
Marriage.
Wedding.
Yeah, I got it. Wedding. I know what that is. I looked it up. With 100 vaccinated people. It lasted for 2 days. Jeez, that's a hell of a wedding. It's almost long enough to get a divorce going. It lasted for 2 days. As soon as I left on the third day, I felt really sick to the point where my parents had to call firefighters to get me to the hospital as quickly as possible. Got both arm and face paralyzed. He had Bell's palsy in the face and a neurological impairment to the extent that his arm was paralyzed. I couldn't even spell my name correctly. Oh, my. He was asked about his name, and he didn't know it. He couldn't give it. And he had a heavy burden on his chest at the same time. He had myo, peri, or endo, or all three. He had heart issues already. My God. Apparently, I had a severe case of high blood pressure, too. That dysfunction, for sure, though I never had anything like that before, and I'm only 36. The doctor said I was drinking too much, which is kind of true, and only had a big anxiety attack. I don't think so. No. I'm never sick and very aware of what I eat. I don't know what to think. Is there anyone out there that encountered the same kind of sickness? I'm quite sure I got poisoned by shedding during this marriage with all those people around multi-jabbed for those 2 days. Wow.
Yeah, there I mean, we've had many examples of that, particularly after some of those big, these freedom rallies and...
Oh, yeah. I think there's an argument to be made that the controllers were very happy to see those happen.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Those are super shedder events.
Yes, they are. All right. Go ahead. Let's roll through these.
Okay, in response to that,
finish them all up, the whole group.
All right. I've had numbness in both my feet after I have woken up, and it continued even when I went to work. My blood doesn't leak out properly when I cut myself, and I woke up with a chesty cough out of nowhere not long ago.
That's the COVID cough. There it is.
Whatever they release from their body is so toxic, I got permanently sick from thrift store clothes. So you don't even have to be around the actual person, but instead coming into contact with their belongings. Poisonous protein.
Go ahead.
Here's our friend Lori. Please stay out of cars with the jabbed. It is the worst place to be with them. And someone says, last Sunday I was in the car with someone who was not vaxxed, only tested, as in swabbed. I have the same sensation I had after being in the same room with vaccinated. Is this common? And someone says, yes, because if that person took the cotton swab test, they are vaxxed. Well, we don't know that. That's still speculative. But there could be a couple reasons why people are having reactions in the car. Number one, I think a lot of these people have become extremely sensitized to formaldehyde and aldehydes in general. And that can create those types of symptoms. There's also quite a bit of Wi-Fi in an automobile now.
Take a tracheometer into any car and see, just put it around the dashboard and see what you get. You'll be shocked.
So it is hard to, fleece out what somebody is reacting to in the general environment. This person is evidently not vaxxed. We don't know. But there's clearly chemical sensitivities that people are also reacting to. I think the laundry detergent smell that people are finding so offensive is an indication that they're struggling to detoxify aldehydes in general. So they've become chemically sensitive. Or, it's also known as, multiple chemical sensitivity or environmental illness.
But they do call it environmental illness, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot about
that. So they've exceeded the threshold for what they are capable of detoxing. And this spike has put a lot of people just over the edge.
Right. All right, just one more left.
Okay. Lately, I cannot enter most Uber cars. The stench of vaccination is unbearable, even with an open window.
Wow. Let me say something of a historical nature. Back in the early days of bioweapon usage on the American people and people on the planet, the Department of Defense went before a congressional subcommittee chaired by Representative Herlong and asked for, what the hell was it, $12 million or some seemingly paltry amount. Now it'd be a billion. They asked for, let's just say $12 million, to build a, this is the testimony, I'm going to paraphrase it, to build a biological weapon that is refractory. In other words, it doesn't help, it's negative, refractory to the immunological system we depend upon to remain relatively free of disease. In other words, in 1969, the DOD was asking Congress for money to build a bioweapon that would, as its primary target, destroy and disrupt the human immunological process. That's where they got this whole thing launched, back in 1969. And from that hearing, they got their money, and 7 years later, HIV/AIDS made its debut. So you connect those dots. So they've been after this destroy the immune system thing for a long time.
Yeah, and you can do it through multiple venues.
Yeah, it's crazy. Okay, let's see here. Vaxxed from kissing. Okay. Need it even be said, all of you out there, don't share body fluids with anyone else. Don't do it. And kissing is doing exactly that. And if you say, ah, now nah, there's nothing in saliva, it's that. No, there's a lot of stuff in saliva, lots and lots of stuff, including blood in 50% of the people still walking and talking. They have blood in their saliva at all times from gingivitis and poor gum health. And if you kiss someone or brush your teeth, I think it's over 90% will show blood, live blood, in their saliva. So, all right, here's this short one, not too long. I kissed someone I found out was vaxxed and have since come down with a bit of a cold, although to be fair, it's that time of year anyway. I'm guessing she was last vaxxed about 2 years ago. Obviously, there's a risk of contamination and shedding, but presumably it's much lower now than it was 2 years ago. Question mark. She did an energetic assessment of the vaccine before taking it and was shown that it was inert. Oh, my. Oh, my. I'm just reading these for the first time. She did an energetic assessment of the vaccine before taking it and was shown by whatever quack she was dealing with that it was inert and couldn't hurt her. So perhaps it was a placebo, writes the person posting here. Would the shedding be any worse than when exposed to someone who had the vaccine a few days earlier? And Erica will answer that.
We don't know.
We suspect. The closest to a vax point you get and interact, potentially the more shedding there may be, but we don't know for sure. So
some people say it gets worse over time. Now, why?
I've seen that too.
The vaxxed, once they received their vaccines, mingled with other vaxxed people pretty freely, and there were more than one version of the vax going around. We had Pfizer, we had Moderna, we had J&J, and in the other countries they had AstraZeneca or Sputnik. And these were all slightly different versions. They were, you know, the company's own patented version of the spike, which was different from the wild type spike. So who knows?
Who knows?
And,
right,
as I've said before, who knows what's happening with the viruses that were latently infecting most people? you know, these things have likely, in the case of these herpes viruses, have oftentimes reawakened, reactivated, and are active infections. Are there recombination events happening? Are they acquiring the ability to incorporate this spike, the mRNA from the spike, into their genome? I don't know. Nobody's looking at that.
Now, there's so many areas that they really warrant, almost demand immediate, serious study and research, but it's there are too many. All right, let's just...
You know, injecting readable, translatable genetic material into a living organism, you don't know what you're going to get.
No idea. No idea. Here's one, post-vax headache misery. Let's do that one real quick. I'll start here. Constant cluster headache. Started out 9 months of constant pressure, now stabbing. Has moved to other parts of the brain. Don't get a single second per day when I am not in pain. A single second. Looking for guidance, seeing an autoimmune neurologist tomorrow, hoping to get a PET scan to see my brain dysfunction. Pretty much in an 11 out of 10 pain all day, every day. Would rather the pressure than these sharp pains. Someone says, burning like stabs, base of the neck to the top of the head and pain into the eye. And someone responded, the first poster, no, it's more like an ice pick. Go ahead and finish that up.
Someone says, look into intracranial hypertension. That is becoming increasingly common with these people. It's essentially a hypertension in the brain, in the skull, which, if it goes unchecked, can lead to that brain herniation. So that it should be managed. Yeah. And then someone says, sounds familiar. How far out are you? I started with pressure, then came stabbing, shooting, electric biting pain. Then came pain bad enough to cripple my neck and arms. I would encourage you to ask the neurologist about the possibility of inflamed nerves, especially if the scan doesn't help. My arms and neck and up my head and even my face were affected by some of my cranial nerves, and I went on a broad-spectrum anti-inflammatory, and the pain was gone. Another person says, you need to check into MCAS. That's mast cell activation syndrome. It is an underlying condition triggered by getting the COVID vaccine. It happened to many of us.
Okay, so there are people out there in pain, lots of them, 11 out of 10 pain. This is horrific, and it's, as we've said too many times to count, the way that these injections, these bioweapons, matriculate and spread throughout the entire biophysiology is beyond diabolically evil. It is horrific. And yeah. I know I'm preaching to the choir to many of you out there, but we care, and that's our program tonight. Thank you all for being here. Good job. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
All right. Okay, we'll be right back with Hour 3 after this.